Thank you for downloading this podcast from CFC Jesus Ministries of Christian Fellowship Church in Chicago, Illinois. Support for this podcast comes from your generous gifts and donations. To find out more about CFC Jesus Ministries or our church, please visit www.cfcjesus.org.
Good morning and welcome to Resurrection Service. We're so glad that you came to join us today to celebrate with us the resurrection of Jesus Christ. You know, we do not say that he has risen or he was risen. He is risen presently. He is our risen Christ. He's alive inside each and every one of us. We're just so grateful that you're here. Ari, the dance was just amazing, how powerful. We enjoyed the choir, those of us who are choir members. The praise and worship was absolutely wonderful. God is so good. Our message today is actually Jesus is alive. I want to encourage you to come tonight and hear a powerful message that our beautiful sister Maribel is going to be bringing tonight. Please come back and join us tonight. You know what? There's nothing like a double anointing, is there? As we begin this morning, our message, Pastor Ken and I, one of the things that I had heard, and I didn't get the video for it, that would be one more thing to do, but I'm sure some of you have seen it, but many of you have not, was the theology of the man on the thief on the cross that was saved at the very last minute, and God is into that. You know, when we're at our most desperate, and when we've run out of chances, here's this thief on the cross. And, you know, there was a pastor who was preaching, and he said, "What's your theology? How does that fit up with the thief on the cross?" And the guy said, "You know, St. Peter's at the gate, and he's saying, 'Why should I let you in?' Have you ever been to a Bible study? No. Can you quote John 3:16? No. Do you know the name of this man? No. He said, 'It's his house, and I can come.' It's as simple as that, the gospel message, because Jesus was dying for each and every one of us. And I say that to tell you this. It's never what we do that gets us in. It's what he did. It's never what we do that will ever get us in. And it's not what we don't do that will keep us out. It's him."
Wow, what a wonderful day. Praise God for this day, the good news of the gospel. You know, you hear the Bible's called the good news. Why is it called the news? Good news, because of the resurrection. Paul said, if the resurrection has not happened, then there is no salvation for us. So I was thinking this morning as I was driving in, Pam, what does the resurrection mean to us? And what it means to you is it looks back at the past, what Jesus did, but it means that you will not die. None of you are terrified about what's going to happen tonight, that you're going to get tired, you're going to go to sleep. You're not terrified about that because you know what happens in the morning. You're going to wake up. I'm telling you, death is no different. That you close your eyes and you wake up. You ever when you were a kid and you fell asleep on the next to the TV, or you fell asleep in the kitchen and your dad, when you were asleep, picked you up and brought you to your bed, and you open your eyes and you're like, "How in the world did I get in here?" It's like you fell asleep and your dad carried you here. And when you fall asleep, your dad's going to carry you, and you're going to wake up and say, "Where am I, and why is Grandma here?" and a bunch of other people. How exciting to think of the events. Can you imagine the newspapers when Jesus was crucified? Not that they had newspapers, but imagine, you know, Jerusalem Times, Jesus dead, King of the Jews, crucified. But imagine today's newspaper. He's back. You know, he is risen. Jesus appears. I mean, that's just thrilling. The Bible says there's no good, no, not one. So that means that every one of us are falling short. Every one of us need a Savior. Our righteousness is as filthy rags. But through the power of the cross, we become righteous. It reminds me of a car accident, and they say, "You know what? This car is totaled. We cannot salvage this car." And that's the way our old life was. God said, "I can't salvage that. There needs to be a new birth, a new creation altogether. Why did Jesus go to the cross for me? He went to the cross for me. None of it was for himself. Think about this. When Jesus went to the cross, he didn't just die physically, but he went on a mission. It says that he descended into the lowest depths. He actually did what we were supposed to do. We were supposed to die for our sins without hope, surrounded by the enemy. But the Bible says he took captivity captive. He made a show of the devil openly. He paralyzed the enemy. And he took the keys to death, hell, and the grave. And Jesus says, I own this now. This is mine. So Jesus never turned back. Matthew 26:39, he went a little further, fell on his face and prayed, saying, Oh, my Father, if it is possible, let this cup pass from me. No one wants to go to the cross. Jesus didn't want to go to the cross. But the big picture today, that Jesus came to earth in Bethlehem, and it was God becoming a human being. And when we crucified him, that's the point. They didn't crucify him. We crucified him. We're the ones holding the hammer. We're the ones holding the whip. We're the ones that said, crucify him, crucify him. It was humanity that was on that cross with him. It was Jesus and the two sinners. They represented everybody. Half the people, good, glad he's dying. And the other one said, he knew he was a sinner. So the cross is everything. And the reason he went for the cross was for you. Think about this as I hand this to Pam. Think about this next sentence. On the cross, Jesus is thinking about you. Think about that. That's powerful.
It's a good day to be in the house of the Lord. You know, is it not interesting to you, the study of the cross, that it has been over 2,000 years, and still we're celebrating? Yes. Have you ever celebrated anything for 2,000 years? 2,000 years, and we're still celebrating. That's because he's still alive is why we're still celebrating. And we're celebrating that he's alive in us. And no matter what your situation, Jesus can raise it back up. I've seen him resurrect relationships. I've seen him resurrect marriages. I've seen him resurrect bodies, human bodies that were almost dead, and he raised them back to life. I can give you testimonies in this congregation of Wanda. I can give you testimony of Kathy in the hospital for 18 months and, you know, no hope several times. I can give you a testimony of Debbie in the hospital and just critical, doctors not having any good words to say to us, but the word of God. And so we are all about the resurrection and the cross. And here's the thing. We have to talk about the cross if we're going to talk about the resurrection, right? Because there would be no resurrection without a cross. And there would be no reason to celebrate without a cross, right? And those are the, sometimes we don't like to talk about that because that was a mess. There was blood everywhere. But it was Jesus who died on the cross. And God's only son, this was the most horrific suffering and event of all time. Of forever and ever, this was the most horrific event. But he was born for exactly this purpose. But I think about this. I want you to think about something for just a minute. Can you just think about this? There had to be a conversation in heaven between the Father and the Son, to which the Bible is totally silent about. There had to be a conversation. And I want to say this because Jesus was born to earth and he was fully human and fully God at the same time. I want to say something else. He felt real physical pain, just like you feel physical pain. He felt real emotional pain, just like you feel emotional pain. He had the same nerve endings you have. He had the same muscle and bone that you had. He had the same blood flowing through his veins, not the same, but blood flowing through his veins as you and I do. So I want to give you two thoughts. Let's talk about this. It has always been so difficult for me to comprehend these two things. Number one, that any father that the Father God was willing to give his sinless son as a living sacrifice to be crucified to save a sinner like me. That has always just blown my mind. I cannot wrap my head around it except to say love, love, love. Number two, I cannot imagine that Jesus was then willing to say, okay, yes, I will be the sacrifice. The Father's willing to give, that blows my mind. But that the Son was willing to go to the cross to be obedient to the Father, even unto death, the best definition of agape love is the cross, of unconditional love. So the question is even more outlandish than that. The bigger question is, why was he willing? Why did he do it? And the answer to the question is even more shocking than the question. You and me. Why did he do it? The answer is you and I. So if you ever think that you're down on yourself, or you ain't worth nothing, or you've blown it so many times, I want you to think about, why did Jesus die if you weren't worthy? And of course we know we're not, but he saw you as worthy through the cross, through his love, that you were that valuable to him, to all of heaven.
That was his whole motivation. The cross was a rescue mission of you and I. And what's so sad about it is that the cross can either be salvation or it can be a stumbling block. And we know we live in a world, we live in a country that does not honor Jesus Christ, that does not honor the resurrection of Jesus Christ. But every person in the world must make a decision what to do with Jesus and what to do with the cross. And we embrace the cross. We even embrace the shame of Jesus Christ, and we identify with the cross. When he died, you died. When he was buried, you were buried. And when you were resurrected, when he was resurrected, you were resurrected. That was Satan's plan. He doesn't know any better. It's like there's going to be a leader of Moses named Moses. And so Satan doesn't know who that is, so he just tries to kill all the firstborn children. When Jesus is born, he knows there's going to be a Savior, so he just tries to kill all the firstborn children. And the Bible said he tried to kill Jesus even before the cross, but it wasn't his time. He couldn't touch him before his time. But Satan did have it in his heart. If I kill Jesus, I kill the Savior. Kill Jesus, kill the Savior. The Bible also says that if he had known, he never would have crucified Jesus. If he would have known that he'd been outsmarted. Say, well, what was the legal basis of this? It's real simple. Romans says through one man, Adam, sin entered the whole world. That's not fair. How is it fair that I'm born a sinner because of what Adam did? Dummy, Adam, thanks a lot. You and Eve, congratulations. You cursed us all. So Satan was fine with that. Yeah, I got Adam and Eve to sin. So now if they have children, their children are born in sin. So Satan was happy with that. Yeah, that's fair. So the plan of salvation is, if it's fair that through one man we all are called sinners, then it's also fair that through one man we would all be redeemed. So Jesus is called the second Adam. So you had Adam, but then here comes Jesus being another Adam, being another child of God, but this time the sinless child of God. So Satan is still our enemy, and the cross has now become our victory. The cross has become our hope. Matthew 28, 1 through 6. This is such a powerful scripture. Not the words. What's powerful about this is thinking about this actually happening.